Good morning, Crossroads. How are y'all this morning? Everybody's good? Enjoying the weather? Soggiest weather we've had in a long time, isn't it? After all, it's good though. Our God reigns, right? And reigns, and reigns, and reigns, and reigns. Come on, you gotta smile. You gotta laugh. You gotta smile. I guess other than what? You just get soaking wet. So you got to laugh. It goes, well, I want to tell you this morning that God loves you. Not one person got excited about that. God loves you. And as we go through this morning, I want to, this whole purpose today of what I'm going to talk to you about is understanding how deep that love is for you. How much He cares for you right now, right where you are, right where you're going through. How much God loves you. How much He is aware of what's happening in your life, yet He still comes along and says, "Oh, man, you know what? I love you. You're mine, and I'm excited about you as who you are." Now, there's a whole lot of times that we don't feel like that, and we don't feel that God would look at us that way. A lot of times we feel like God is ready to hit us with a thunderbolt. In fact, the old hellfire and brimstone preachers used to, you know, preach that. Basically, if you stepped across the line, God was going to strike you dead. And there's still some out there who have that sort of view about who God is and what God wants to do in your life. But that's not true. God loves you right where you are because of what Jesus Christ did on the cross. He paid for everything that's happened in your life, everything that you've done in your life, everything that you're going to do is paid by the blood of Jesus Christ. And you are right and whole before God because of what Christ has done as soon as you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And so you don't need to worry about coming before Him with anything. You don't need to worry about coming before Him with whatever's going on in your life, no matter or what has happened in your life, because God is always right there to meet you. Always right there to meet you. Isn't that cool? I mean, you can, and you don't have to come in here to meet Him, although this is a great place to do it. Some of the best prayer times people have are in the bathtub, or in the shower, or driving in their car. You know those times when you're alone and you've got time to sit and there's nothing like sitting in that nice hot bathtub, to leaning back and just talking to the Lord. And He's there with you. And He hears you. And He loves you. And He cares for you. This morning, the sermon is called Thirsty. And it's really part two of what I started 2 weeks ago about getting your hope back, about understanding how God wants to bring the hope back in your life and to create in you the desire and the hope of what God's doing in your life. It's because He loves you, He wants to do that. We sometimes think that when our hope is gone and we're feeling God is distant, where we're feeling away from God, or we know we've messed up, we think that God is going to build that wall, and He's the one who's built the wall and says, "No, you can't come near me. I'm not going to let you get close to me." But that's not the truth at all. That's not what God does. God reaches out to us and helps us. So this morning, I'm adding on. This is called piling on. I'm adding on to what I said before. We're going to build on to getting your hope back and seeing what God has for us along the way. We're going to start by looking at some scripture. We're going to go to John chapter 4. We'll start in verse 7. Not that one, the one of four. That's John 3. That's coming. Don't have the other one? We've lost some stuff. You got your Bible, take it out. Read with me, or I'll read to you. John chapter 4, starting in verse 7, we're going to go down to verse 30. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples had gone into town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to Him, "You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink?" For Jews did not associate with Samaritans. Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked Him and He would have given you living water." "Sir," the woman said, "you have nothing to draw with and the well is deep. Where can we get this living water?" Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did also his sons and his livestock? Jesus answered, everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. Verse 14, now the key. But whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life. That's so cool. The woman said to him, sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water. He told her, go, call your husband and come back. I have no husband, she replied. Jesus said to her, you are right when you say you have no husband. The fact is that you have had five husbands, and the man you are now with is not your husband. What you have said is quite true. Sir, the woman said, I can see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem. Woman, Jesus replied, believe me, a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans, what you do not know, we worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in the Spirit and in truth. For they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is Spirit, and his worshipers must worship in spirit and in truth. The woman said, I know that the Messiah called Christ is coming. When he comes, he will explain everything to us. Then Jesus declared, I, the one speaking to you, I am he. Just then his disciples returned and were surprised to find him talking with a woman. But no one asked, what do you want, or why are you talking to her? Then leaving her water jar, the woman went back to town and said to the people, come, see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Messiah? And they came out of town and made their way toward him. Here is a woman who had gone through large portions of her life with consistent hopes dashed and destroyed. She'd been married five times. Five times. I know people, and we've got counseling for divorce care counseling here for people who go through divorce care and the struggle of that and the scars and the hurt of that. And going through it once is devastating. Going through it five times? She got to the point now where after going through it five times, she's now living with a man that she's not married to. Just like, it's just like, okay, I'll take anything I can get. I've given up hoping that something permanent and good and right can be there in my life. I'm just going to have to settle for whatever I can get. And I can tell you right now about the guy she's living with. He's a deadbeat. Guaranteed, he's a deadbeat. He's not one that she would, if she had her absolute choice of what the husband she wanted to be like, he's not the one who would be like that, but he is the one who would have her. And what she had done is she'd gone through this whole process of losing hope again and again and again and again and again and again. We go through times in our lives where we face maybe not the process of divorce, although there are far too many of us who have had to go through that and the hurt and the pain of struggling through that in our lives. But we go through things in our lives that are so disappointing and so hurtful, and we wind up in the process of that hurt with our hope being dashed and destroyed. Our hope gets beaten up. You ever had your hope beaten up? Sometimes you feel like you're the boxing bag and you got Mike Tyson in front of you and you just go, poof, 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 poof. Things keep coming at you, knocking you around and hitting you and knocking you sideways. And pretty soon you're just like, oh, Lord, just let me, I don't know what I'm going to do. And we're just feel pummeled emotionally, spiritually, sometimes physically. Because our hope has been destroyed. Hope defines your expectations of your future. Hope is an essential of life. Hope is like water to your soul. We all have hope. We all have hope. We hope about things. We hope about tomorrow. We hope about our kids and our family. The Bible talks about hope in many ways, but it also talks about something tied to it. It talks about our dreams. We've got dreams for our family. We have dreams for our children. We have dreams for ourselves. And when you first got married, those of you who are married, when you first got married, you had dreams about your marriage. This is what it's going to be like. It's going to be so wonderful. We'll always be so happy together. We'll never fight. Ever. As I told our Bible study group the other night, Sharon and I, we don't fight. We never fight. We just have moments of intense fellowship. We have our dreams about what it was going to be like. You have your dreams about what you want things to be like. You have your dreams about going to school. Your dreams about your job. Your dreams about your relationships. Your dreams about your family. And so many times when we have all those dreams and those hopes about all those things around us, something comes along and messes it up on us. And we wind up being in a place where we're being distracted. And if it happens often enough, we give up dreaming and give up hoping. We give up believing that God is going to be able to do something good in us. Talk about believing that God is going to do something good in us. After service today, we're going to pray believing God to do something good. Aaron and Bridget's son, was Benjamin, correct? Was taken into hospital on Thursday with an anaphylactic shock reaction, correct? They believe that that was reacting to peanuts or something that was happening in him. They've asked that we come together as a family and that we anoint with oil and we pray for them after the service today and pray for Benjamin that this is a God can bring about a miracle in his life and a healing for him. So after service today, we're going to do this right down over here. We want you to come and we're going to pray together as a body believing. We're going to anoint him with oil and believe that God's going to bring healing into his life. Because we serve a good God. We serve a God who gives hope. We serve a God who gives strength. We serve a God who loves us. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. There you go. But for God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned. We often leave that last part out when we read John 3:16. We don't often get into the rest of it, but there's a whole lot more there. Whoever believes in him is not condemned. That condemnation can make you feel real bad sometimes. And that's when your hope goes out. Oh man, I was so stupid. So stupid. I preached a sermon one time at the end of the year, pardon me, at the beginning, right at the very beginning of the year, about things we want to take into the new year. And I brought a bunch of suitcases out onto the platform. And I said, from these suitcases, these are things we have to decide whether we're going to bring forward or we're going to leave behind. And all the things over there. So we went through a variety of things, but I opened up one suitcase and what was in it was stupid things I had said and done. Case one of 27. And we condemn ourselves about the stupid things we said and done, don't we? And those things keep coming back on us again and again. And the enemy likes to use those things against us. But Jesus Christ says that whoever believes in him is not condemned. The condemnation does not come from Christ. But when the condemnation comes, the enemy uses that to steal the hope out of us. He reaches right into your soul and he grabs a hold of it and says, you have no right or reason to hope about anything because I know and you know and God knows who you are. So there. And he wants to do that to us. But God loves us more than that. See, that's the really awesome part about God. He loves us more than that. He loves us more than that because he says, no matter what that is in you, I set you free of that now in the name of Jesus. I come against all of that, and by the power and grace of God, he has given to you the power that you need. Where there is no hope, there is no future. Where there is no power, and there is no power in the present. Where there is no hope, there is no future, and there is no power in where we are living right now. The enemy wants to knock the hopes and dreams out of your life. He wants to come along, and he wants to knock that right out of you. And one of the ways he does that is through the disappointments that we have in life. There's a story in 1 Chronicles where there was a battle going on, and there was a father by the name of Ephraim, and his sons were in that battle, and they were killed. We read to you verse 21 to 23 in 1 Chronicles 7. Ezer and Elead were killed by the native-born men of Gath when they went down to seize their livestock. Their father Ephraim mourned them for days, and his relatives came to comfort him. Then his wife became pregnant again, and she gave birth to a son, and she named him Beriah. Beriah means evil, because there had been misfortune in his family. Imagine being named evil. Hi, I'm Damien. I'm evil. I'm Beriah. I'm the evil one. What had happened because of the situation that they were in, what they did was they named their future based upon their present situation. They named what was going to come. They put on their son a future named upon what was happening right at that point in time. And they brought upon him an overwhelming negative thing in the situation that they were in, because the hope in their hearts had been destroyed. There is hope that comes that God wants us to have, but we often let our present situations keep us from seeing the hope that is beyond us. Have you ever been so overwhelmed by where you are right now that you can't see beyond it? You just can't see beyond that. That's what was happening here. They named him Beriah. Evil. They couldn't see beyond it. Everything is evil. Everything is evil. Everything is so torn down. Everything is so destructive. You can't let your present name your future. You can't do that. You cannot let your present name your future. You cannot keep yourself hold back, because those circumstances, if you let them right now, will kill your dreams. If you let what's happening right now, hope will be destroyed in the middle of it. Yet God says, come on. I want you to understand that I've given you hopes. I've given you dreams, and you've got so much more. So much more that you can do, so much more than you can have, so much more that you can accomplish in your life. Those difficulties that you have are really huge. You know, there was a time in my life that was extremely hard, extremely difficult. And I did not see hope or future. I didn't see a hope or future for me. I didn't see a hope or future for my family. I didn't see a hope or future for anything. It was as dark as it could get. I had people coming to me concerned that I was going to commit suicide in the midst of this. I had people around me, some who were extending grace, many who were extending judgment, and there was this clash, and within me there was this darkness. And when this took place many years ago now, we were still singing Gaither songs in church. We went down to a church service, and I even forget where it was now. But Sharon and I and the kids went into the church service, and we sat down. And here I'm sitting, I'm just like, my guts are being torn out. I have no idea as to what can happen. Everything is going to disappear. There's nothing left for me. And in the midst of that, we're in this church service, and I'm feeling a disconnect with people and with God and with everything around us. But then they started to sing a song. Do you know how those songs sometimes, they just connect with you. The Spirit of God speaks to you through the music and through the songs. He comes and touches you where you are. And it's not just, at that point, it's not just singing a song or clapping along to the music. It's something that just goes right in you. And they began to sing. They began to sing, "Because He Lives, I Can Face Tomorrow." Because He lives, all fear is gone. Because I know He holds the future. I know He holds the future. And I know He holds my hand. I know I can trust Him. I know I can put my faith in Him. The last part of that is actually, "And life is worth the living." Just because He lives. Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all fear is gone. Because He lives. Because He lives. Because He lives. And life is worth the living just because He lives. There's times when your hope gets to that point and the circumstances around your life have happened and the hope has been pulled away from you, and yet God wants to come along and He wants to put it back in you. Don't ever think that God has left you. Don't ever think that God has abandoned you. Don't ever think that God has walked away from you. Understand and know and know and know that God wants to come along and pour back into you and say, "Hey, come on, I'm going to lift you up." There is a hope. There is a future. No matter what it was, no matter what it is, no matter where you're going, no matter what you're going through, God is alive and powerful, and He loves you, and He lives, and He has a future, and life is worth the living because He lives. God will take you and move you into that place. He has that for you, no matter where you are, no matter what you're facing. God does that for you. He's an awesome, powerful God. He wants to take those things to you and make them work in your life. Sometimes we get distracted, we lose hope too, because things are taking too long to find an answer. Daniel chapter 10, verse 1. Daniel's talking about prophecy in this, but the phrase is apt. He said, "The thing was true, but the time was long." You ever been there? The thing is true, but the time is long. And so hope gets knocked out of us sometimes because we're knocked out because of we're not able to see and experience what God has for us. We've been waiting so long and waiting so long and waiting so long in that whole process. We don't understand or see the power of God working in our lives anymore because it's taken so very, very long. Psalm 130, verse 5 says, "I wait for the Lord, my whole being waits, and in His word I put my hope." My whole being waits, and in His word I put my hope. No, you got to get all of that. Some of you have missed the important part there. You missed it. Let me give it to you again. "I wait for the Lord." We can all agree there. We've had times of that. But then He says, "My whole being waits." There's a unity of myself in the waiting before God. Body, soul, and mind, and spirit. Wrapped up saying, "I am going to wait before the Lord and allow Him to come to give me what I need and to put it into place." We want things fast. Let's face it. We're a microwave generation and God is a crockpot God sometimes. But honestly, doesn't the crockpot stuff taste better than the microwave stuff? Amen. You ever cooked a steak in a microwave? You ever tried to cook a roast in a microwave? I had someone who tried to cook a hamburger in a microwave once. It made a mess of the microwave. And it was gross. I won't tell you which outlet it tastes like, but it tasted like that. And God comes along, he says, no, you have to wait. Things are going to take time. Things have to wait. You've got to work through and understand what we have in the process. And sometimes in that process, we also have to watch what we say. It's so easy to get negative. We live in a society today that is inherently negative. It's almost like the negative thing is the thing to be. If it's better to say no and to criticize than it is to say yes and support. There's something that's viewed as strength to be critical. They view criticism and being critical as strength. But if you say, hey, I'm going to support this, or I'm going to support that, and I'm going to be good for this, and I'm going to be good for that, it becomes, what's the matter with you? What's the matter with you? I got a big kick out of one of the demonstrators down in the States, this picture that was there. This little mini riot that took place in one of the cities, and they'd set fire in the middle of the streets, and they had signs up, and had all the rest of this. And there was a guy standing on top of something that they destroyed. It was a pile of junk, and it was in the middle of the street. He was standing on top of this thing. He had a mask on. He was holding up a sign that says, "We don't want hate in our country." What? That's where they're at. That's where a lot of people are at. It's better to be hateful. It's better to be negative. Listen, if you're going through something that is destructive to you, it's so easy to start talking to your mind and talking to yourself about, it's like, this will never change. This will never change. It's always going to be like this. Imagine this woman who came to Jesus, or Jesus came across at the well. She'd been married 5 times. What was in her mind about her relationship with men? It's never going to change. I'm never going to find anyone or anything that's good or strong. I'm never going to get what's right. It's not going to happen to me. That's where she was at. And yet in our own private worlds, in our own private battles that we fight, we get in that place and we see the same sort of things we talk to ourselves about. I'm never going to be able to change that. I'm never going to be able to change that. I'm never going to lose weight. I'm never going to be able to be smart enough to do this. I'm just too stupid. I didn't go to college. I didn't go to this. I'm just not able. I'm not capable of doing that. I just feel so dumb. I just feel so inadequate. I just feel. And we let that come in against us, but that's not what God has created us to be. God has come along and he said to you and to me, he says, right now you need to understand. You need to understand that you are a child of God. And when you are created as a child of God, you are more than a conqueror. And you have everything that you need to do what you need in this life. And I have placed upon you dreams and hopes and desires into your life so that you can have the things that God wants in your life. So that you can develop in your life a family that finds joy and peace in God. No matter if your family is all over the place right now. And there's things going on that you just don't want. If the desire and the dream in your heart is that your family comes in to know Jesus Christ, they're unified in love, they're unified together, they're unified in what God has, that is not a dream you give up on. That is not a hope you leave out there. You say, well, that's just the way it is. My kids will never get their act together. Don't do that. Keep saying, Lord, I'm believing. I'm believing. Come on, you want to get your hope up, you got to start saying, I'm believing. I'm believing. I really believe what God's going to do. I know what God's going to do. I know what God wants to do. I know that I can trust him. I know that he's going to work. I know. Why? Because he lives. Yes, I was jumping up and down the platform. There's one of my favorite animals going on the ark is the snail. Snail's going onto the ark. And he's trucking along. And beside him come running all the other animals. They're flying past. They're flying past. There goes the deer. There goes the lion, the moose, giraffe, dog, cat. There goes the mouse. Here comes the snail. But the snail's not worried. You know why? Because he knows that God said they're not going anywhere until he gets there. Right? God said they're not going anywhere until he gets there. At times in your life when you're waiting on things to happen for God and it seems to be taking a long time, you can't allow yourself to go into the negative. You can't allow yourself to start tearing it down. You can't allow yourself to give up and to lose hope in what God's trying to do. You have to say, hey, God's promised this to me and I'm going to hang on to it with all of my fiber, with all of my being. I want to know what God has for me. I love this in Philippians chapter 3, starting in verse 13. And this is the Message version because I like it so much. I've got my eye on the goal where God is beckoning us onward to Jesus. I'm off and running and I'm not turning back. So let's keep focused on that goal. Those of us who want everything God has for us. If any of you have something else in mind, something less than total commitment, God will clear your blurred vision. You'll see it yet. Now that we're on the right track, let's stay on it. Come on, anything less than wanting to move to what God has for us, anything less than what God wants to do for us, anything less means that we're stepping back and we're ceasing to be what God wants us to be, and we've lost hope in what God has for us. I want to speak to you this morning when you've lost hope and if you're struggling with hope in some area of your life that God says to you, do not turn back from what he's planted in your heart about the seeds of hope for that issue in your life. Do not listen to words that say that will never come to pass, never happen for you. Do not let yourself get wrapped up into it will never change. It cannot happen for me. Do not let yourself say God has abandoned me or left me here to die, left me here to suffer, left me here without answer, left me here without strength. Do not give up hope. Do not. Because the hope that he has leads you forward. The woman at the well came to Jesus in a place where she had lost all hope with every area of her life. There was nothing left to go on. All she did was able to come and get water and go home to the man who was not her husband, but she was with now. And quite frankly, she probably never was sure if he was going to be there when she got home or not. He may have moved on. Her hope, her life was beaten up. And she was ready to just subsist and exist. But then she met Jesus. How cool is that? She met Jesus. And Jesus said, I've got something better for you than you can imagine. I've got water for you. But it's not this water that you're getting out of this well. This is a water that will give you life. This is a water that will change your life. But in order for it to change your life, you have to be thirsty for it. You have to say, I need what God has for me in my life. I'm going to stop. I cannot keep trying to do it my way. I cannot keep trying to do it and find answers my way. I need to give myself wholly and completely to Jesus Christ and to let Jesus Christ start and do his work in me the way he wants to do his work in me. He will guide me. He will teach me. He will give me life. He will give me hope in the midst of what I'm going through. I cannot find hope in and of myself. But I can find hope in Jesus Christ. What do you need hope for? Where have your hopes been beaten up? And what's causing those hopes to be pulled away from you? Is it a sense of unworthiness that you feel? Is it a sense of God be taking so long to answer it? Is it other words that people have spoken to you that have kept you from being able to receive it? Is it words that you've spoken to yourself and about yourself and your situation that keep you from being able to receive what God wants you to do in your life and the hope that he wants you to have? I challenge you this morning to remember, because he lives, I can face tomorrow. because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future. My life is worth the living just because he lives. That's truth for where each one of us is at right now. The key is now, will you accept that for yourself? I'm going to ask that you stand with me this morning, please. Heavenly Father, you are such a good God. And I thank you that you love us so very much. I thank you, Father, that once we've committed ourselves to you, there's nothing that separates us from your love. And Lord, I pray right now for those here this morning who have struggled with areas of their lives that they feel so desperate in or feel hopeless in or they've given up on. I pray, Father, now that you restore that hope in them and in us. Restore our hopes for our families. Restore our hope for marriage, our marriage. Restore our hope for our lives, for our jobs, for our church, for our future. Oh, Father, come within us now and lift up and lift away all of those things that have held back the belief and trust in you that we need to place right now. In Jesus' name. Father, give to us what we need so that we can serve you the way you need us to serve you. In power, in victory, and in strength. In the name of Jesus. Bless us now. Fill us with joy. Fill us with anticipation and excitement of your goodness. Fill us with words of hope and strength and building one another up and encouraging one another. Lord, restrain our tongues from being negative, but let them speak with only the positive of your love for us, whatever is true, whatever is right, in the name of Jesus. Whatever is profitable and strong, in the name of Jesus. Let your grace and power be on us now and guide us in this, we pray. And we thank you for it. Thank you for it in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 We're going to close the service here now. Bridget and Aaron, if you'd like to come over here with Benjamin. Those who'd like to come and pray with them, we'll meet over here. Also, if you'd like prayer yourself this morning, the prayer team, there'll be a prayer team here. Also be having communion served here this morning if you'd like to partake of communion today. So we encourage you to come and do that this morning. Leave today with joy in your heart. Leave today with words of strength and encouragement. Leave today knowing how much God loves you today. And rejoice in him and who he is this morning because of the goodness and greatness of our God. God bless you. Have a wonderful week. Be encouraged in his strength.